Good morning. This is Sunday Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Haim Goodman-Strauss.
Good morning.
Good morning, Haim, math professor at the University of Arkansas. And we have indulged a friend in New York City to be back on the phone with us again this Sunday morning.
Great. So here we have Dennis Shasha here to answer last week's puzzle.
And before we get to last week's puzzle, Dennis has written several puzzle books, and you have a new one out. And what is the title of that?
It's called The Puzzler is Illusion. E-L-U-S-I-O-N, because this particular puzzler is trying to elude detection.
I had a question, Dennis. So you're currently writing a column for Scientific American on puzzles, and of course that's Scientific American has a great tradition of puzzling, and I was wondering if you could say a few words about that.
Sure. Well, the column is actually on the website. It's the website is SCIAM.com, S-C-I-A-M.com. And it's been really fun writing for them. The first time I wrote my first puzzle for them was about a certain kind of balance problem. And it involved a 20-meter long plank, and it had weights on it and things like that. And the fact checkers at Scientific American said, wait, you can't have a 20-meter long plank that weighs only 3 kilograms unless it's made by a titanium alloy. So we had to put that in the first column. So it's great being part of Scientific American, where you even have fact checkers checking puzzles.
What makes a good puzzle?
Well, to me, what makes a good puzzle is one that you can hold in your head easily, that you can think about and maybe not be able to solve immediately, but when you get it, you know you've gotten it.
Well, we had a good puzzle last week. It involved helping a young person do multiplications over 5. And let's see if I can remember correctly. If you had something like, say, 8 times 7, you would put 3 fingers up on your right hand.
For the 8.
Because that's 5 plus 3 more. You'd put then 2 up on your left hand for the 7, because that's 5 plus 2. All right, how many fingers you got up? You got 5. And then you look at how many you have down in your left hand. That's 3. You have 2 down on your right hand. You multiply those 2. It's 6. Lo and behold, there's the answer, 56. Dennis, what you left us with, though, is why does this work? I say it works because the universe is a beautiful thing. Haim says that's not enough to know. Haim, do you have a clue?
Well, I guess a little algebra solves that one. But how do you say that on the radio?
Well, okay, so this is a little tough to say on the radio. So I'll give you the hint leading all the way almost to the solution, but you might have to write a few things down.
Okay.
So here's how it goes. You first of all observe that if you're taking a number, let's say 7, that's 5 plus 2. It's also 10 minus 3. And so when we look at how many fingers you're going to have up, what you're going to have is you're going to have however many fingers, let's call that number X, we're going to have X minus 5 fingers up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have 10 minus X fingers down.
Of course.
So now, if you add up the up fingers, you're going to have, if you're multiplying X times Y, you're going to have X minus 5 up in the right hand, and Y minus 5 up on the left hand. And then among the fingers down, you're going to have 10 minus X down on the right hand and 10 minus Y down on the right hand. Now, when you multiply the 10 minus X times the 10 minus Y, you get, this is now your 8th grade algebra, so it's not for the 8-year-old, it's for your 8th grader. You'll get 100 minus various other things.
Right.
But at the end of those various other things, there's a plus XY.
Ah, that's it.
And then for the up fingers, you're just going to add those together and multiply those by 10. So you're going to get you're going to get X minus 5 plus Y minus 5, and that's going to eventually give you, one of those terms is going to be minus 10, and since you're multiplying that side by 10, you're going to get a minus 100. That's just the first of many things that cancel.
Huh.
And what happens is that after lots of canceling, all you get left is XY. So I invite you to try that at home, and I invite you to try it in front of an eighth grader who kind of likes algebra but thinks it's useless, just to show them that it can be magical as well as useful.
Dennis Shosha, thank you very much.
Thank you.